Praise be Jesus and Mary. The readings this weekend, the first reading presents us with the prophet Ezekiel receiving the word of God, instructions from God, being sent to the people of God, and meeting up with resistance. And we see the same thing going on in the gospel, that is, Jesus, the Son of God, being sent to his people just the same and meeting up with resistance. We go back to Ezekiel, who says, "As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet." And so God calls Ezekiel for his mission, actually the Spirit entering into him, standing him up on his feet, and then giving him the words that he was to speak to the people and sending him forth. Now, it wasn't an easy mission. God told him it wouldn't be easy because he said, "I am sending you to the Israelites." And who are the Israelites? They are rebels who have rebelled against me, and they and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. They are hard of face and obstinate of heart. Not an easy mission. He's going sent by God to a people who were not disposed to hear the word of God from the representative of God. That's who the prophet is, one who speaks in the name of God. However, they will be without excuse, because God says, "Whether they heed you or resist, they shall know that a prophet has been among them." That is, by the convincing force of his words, they will know that he was sent by God. They will know that he is speaking in the name of God. And so, whether they heed or resist, or rather, if they resist, they are without excuse, because they know exactly what they're doing. And so, something similar is going on in the gospel. All right, again, to Ezekiel, he was called the Son of Man. "Son of Man, I am sending you to the Israelites." And that was the term that God used in referring to Ezekiel, Son of Man. And the commentary says this was to keep him humble. Number one, Ezekiel was having all of these amazing visions, right? And he's now being called as a prophet to be sent to speak in God's name. So to keep him humble, God refers to him as Son of Man. It's, remember, you are a descendant of Adam. You are not an angel. And the words you will have come from me, not from you. But in the gospel, it's our Lord himself who refers to himself as the Son of Man. The Father doesn't refer to our Lord as the Son of Man. Instead, he refers to him as my beloved Son. But Jesus, in his humility, wanting to be associated with us, his brothers and sisters, refers to himself as the Son of Man. And so Jesus, too, is sent to his people, okay, to preach in the name of God. He is God. And if St. John the Baptist was more than a prophet, then what is Jesus, right? If the more than a prophet was not even worthy to unlatch his sandals, okay, he is nothing other than the Messiah, right? The God-man, the Savior of the world. So Jesus is sent with maximum authority, okay, sublimity of words, heavenly doctrine, working miracles to confirm his message. And his people knew all this, right? They heard his teaching. They marveled at his miracles. In fact, that's what the gospel says. Many who heard him were astonished. Where did he get all this? Where did he get this wisdom, his mighty deeds that are wrought by his hands? So they heard the wisdom, they saw the mighty deeds, and yet they are hardened of heart. and slow to believe, and they resist. So much so that our Lord was amazed at their lack of faith. Totally amazed that they were resisting him and resisting his message and his authority. And so there was nothing lacking on the part of our Lord. No, it's not his fault that they lacked faith, but it was their fault. The Catechism explains that faith, yes, is a grace from God. It comes from above. It is a gift from above, but is also a human act. We have to cooperate. Paragraph 155 of the Catechism says, in faith, the human intellect and will, the intellect that knows the truth that it has heard, and the will freely cooperate with divine grace. Believing is an act of the intellect assenting to the divine truth by command of the will, moved by God through grace. So the grace was not lacking for these our Lord's people, okay? But it was a lack of will. Neither was the intellect lacking. They heard the truth. They heard the wisdom. They perceived with their eyes the miracles confirming it. Then what was lacking? The will to cooperate. They thought they knew him. Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Evidence that our Lord, as he lived among his people at Nazareth, did nothing extraordinary, but lived an ordinary, everyday life. That in itself is very instructive. But our Lord is amazed at their lack of faith. So how does this apply to us? Where do we fit in? Okay. The church throughout the world is proclaiming the gospel. It's been doing this for 2,000 years. Our Lord has been confirming this message with miracles for the last 2,000 years. Some miracles that continue today to exist in a miraculous way. The Tomb of St. Juan Diego, the Shroud of Turin, the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano. Right? These are signs that God has given to us, confirming the truth of the message. But where do we find ourselves, like I said, in the Word of God? Are we hard of face? Are we obstinate of heart? Are we a rebellious people? Is Jesus, when he comes, going to be amazed at our lack of faith in the face of 2,000 years of evidence? There's another person in the gospel in whom our Lord is not amazed at his lack of faith, but the scripture says he was amazed at his faith. And that was not an Israelite. It was the centurion. When he says, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Scripture says Jesus marveled at his faith. And so this is what we want. When our Lord calls us from this world or comes on the last day, we want him to marvel at our faith. And so we want to continue to make progress in faith. We want to nourish our faith. The Catechism talks about this as well, that we cannot remain stagnant. The first commandment, this is paragraph 2088, says the first commandment requires us to nourish and protect our faith with prudence and vigilance and to reject everything that is opposed to it. So we want to nourish our faith with daily prayer, frequent reception of the sacraments, living our faith out, practically speaking, on a daily basis, by humble, self-sacrificing, loving service toward our neighbor. Right? If we just do these simple things of living the Christian faith and nourishing it by prayer, meditation on the Word of God, receiving the sacraments. When our Lord comes, we will be like the centurion. Okay? He will be amazed at our faith because it will be great, strong, and fervent within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.